it'll make more sense, especially since we've been such fun on the previous podcast episodes.
And I feel like when we started recording for the second time last time, we kept just talking about things
that
we had previously recorded, but our listeners won't know what that is.
Well, do you want to tell them?
Yeah. Hello, welcome back to the Mythical Menagerie. I'm Sarah, I'm one of your co-hosts. We are re-recording this episode, so just bear with us. It may not sound as fun and natural as normal, but we're going to try and make it really fun anyway.
It's an important episode, so we had to re-record. Re-re-record. Mitt better have my money.
So, anyway, welcome back. It's a podcast. We talk about mythical creatures and whether or not they're keepable. Again, I'm Sarah, or Titter Snowbird.
And I'm Camille, or Denzel Sprack. I forget it every time.
You got it?
It wasn't recording.
I am Joe, or Lord Weasel.
And today, we have our very first guest, who is the light of my life, the love of my world. Her name is Anna Britt, and she is here to talk about...
Hello! I'm here today to talk about Bigfoot!
It's the episode we've all been waiting for ever since we began 2 episodes ago.
This is two.
That's okay. Very exciting. Full disclosure, even though we have recorded this, this will be the third recording that we've attempted, and I have had ample opportunity to research, at least get on the Google machine one time, and I haven't, so...
The tricky thing is that we all are aware that Anna Britt has gone above and beyond and done enough research for all of us, so we're just going to kind of rely on her for that. So Anna Britt, would you like to do an introduction of our animal?
I would love to. So I chose Bigfoot as the mythical creature this week. Some of you may know, I am from the Pacific Northwest originally, so Bigfoot is near and dear to my heart. But they are also known as Sasquatch in Canada and the United States. They are a large, bipedal, ape-like inhabitant of forests across North America. They are covered in dark hair, and sometimes a pungent odor is associated with their reports and sightings of the Squatch.
The Squatch?
They are known... for their big feet.
Sure.
Now, I was trying to find something to compare a Bigfoot's feet. And here's what I have. Shaquille O'Neal wears a size 23 shoe, which is about 16 inches long. So, foot and a half foot of Shaquille O'Neal.
It's too big.
So much. So much Shaquille O'Neal.
Bigfoot has 24 inch long feet. So, 2 feet
it's unreasonable.
Per foot. 4 feet total. And 2 feet.
It's too much. It's too much.
I also...
It's 2 feet too many.
It is 2 feet too many. But I guess it makes sense. Do we know... Gosh, this is going to be a very niche question, but if anyone's going to know, it'll be you, I guess.
Oh gosh, I hope I know it.
You gave the weight range too, right? So
Like
6 to 9.
I forgot to mention that this time. Thank you. Mm-hmm. They are listed as 500 plus pounds. So probably a juvenile and female adult are around 500, but an adult male could be 600,
That's
700,
wild.
If
I
not more.
I guess it makes sense then that they would have such huge feet. But is it, do we know, what did we decide on as far as like body condition? Like, is it mostly muscular? And that's why it's so...
I think so, because if you look at the videos of, like, video evidence of...
Oh, like the Patterson-Gimlin movie of 1967?
Yes, precisely.
Ooh, also, are we operating off of the belief that he does actually exist, like some people in the room seem to believe? Or are we...
I think for the purposes of... including him in the menagerie, we are assuming that he is mythical. Mm-hmm. But I would argue that I bet you could Google video evidence of a unicorn and someone would show a Bigfoot-esque video of a unicorn walking and looking towards the camera. Mm-hmm.
There are some people who think that Bigfoot is not mythical, but is in fact a cryptid, which I'm sure I'm going to botch the technical definition, but a cryptid is an animal that we haven't proved exists yet, but people are certain exists. Mm-hmm. Like the Loch Ness Monster is another example of a cryptid.
I don't want to get into it, but I just feel like it's one thing, like a Loch Ness Monster is a marine animal, and I have a much easier time believing we have not discovered large animals in the ocean rather than on land. I don't know.
Well, Loch Ness doesn't live in the ocean. It lives in a very small lake in Scotland.
Loch Ness,
if you will.
There you go.
But I feel like you should save the Nessie conversations for their own episode.
Mm-hmm. For the Nessie episode.
We don't want to take away from the Squatch.
No, no.
But going back to your original question, I think that based off of video evidence that we do have of Sasquatch, of Bigfoot, what have you, it's not like a blob that's shuffling along. It's like a
so
long, svelte,
very muscular, long arms like a gorilla, but they aren't stooped like a great ape usually.
They walk upright like a human.
They are bipedal, yeah.
Sounds like a hunk.
Ayo.
Do we know what I... We decided that we were not concerned about them being able to climb, or do we think they're good climbers? It depends on the forested area. Yeah, I know. We snacking on the mochi is a bold move.
Also,
referring back to recording
the thing you said we weren't gonna do.
I know. I can't stop doing it.
Also, this is not the third time we recorded it. The first question you have asked every time is
because.
But like, what about
gets
climbing?
It gets the ball rolling. You guys are just you. You're
you
not understanding
to,
the art behind it.
Let me go through some more natural history.
Okay.
And then we
that
can maybe
good.
Discuss what habitat
yeah.
it would require. So as an Oregonian at heart, I would have told you that Bigfoot is only found in the Northwest and everyone else is lying. But it turns out that only a third of the reported sightings of Bigfoot occur in the Northwest and the rest are all across at least the U.S. and Canada, and some are in Mexico. So their habitat is vast expanses of uninterrupted forest. And there's lots of different types of forests, so I feel like as far as creating a habitat goes, you've got a lot of options and diversity there. For their diet, they are omnivores. Things that they would be able to forage in said forests, so fruits, berries, roots, tubers, fish, birds. And then the report that I read said they especially enjoy deer and elk.
Oh, yeah, they can, like, rip the head off of a male.
Live male deer.
So they've got this massive upper body strength that allows them to decapitate cervids at will, which is pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, with that knowledge, and with their feet being, like, 1.5 times as big as Shaq's feet,
ugh.
Would they be 1.5 times better at basketball than Shaq?
Probably.
Do we have a habitat with the basketball?
Put them on the free throw line and they're basically touching it anyway.
Would they wear jerseys like Teen Wolf, where you just see the fur popping out?
I mean, say what you will. Yeah. Not a bad look.
Probably one of the trickiest things for keeping a Bigfoot in human care will be the size of their territory. So each Bigfoot has a territory of almost 8,000 acres. And Joseph used to know, is it 12 square miles?
It's like, 12 and a half, something like that.
So that's a big space.
Right. But it's important to note that if that is their wild habitat range, that once you... The reason they are using such a vast expanse would be because they are solely responsible for their food and shelter, and they don't know necessarily like where everything is in such a large area, if they do, I know that orangutans will like go to different places at different times of the year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that's
seasonally forage.
Seasonally where all
of
the food is. They need that space
to collect
find
enough
that
calories.
Food.
Yeah.
But when you're under human care, and food, shelter, all of that is provided for you. There is less of a need to travel, but there is a, there's like a middle ground where you want them to have enough space to explore, but not too much to become overwhelmed and stressed out, and also not too little of a space to where they become overstimulated and stressed out. So I think, I mean, 12 square miles would be unrealistic for us to provide for one Bigfoot. However, I think what we did kind of agree upon was a... We're gonna go... We decided that he cannot swim very well, right? Because he's so muscular.
Too dense.
Yeah.
And so covered in hair that he'd be pretty weighed down.
Yeah.
And so swimming is unlikely to be a strong suit of his. Mm-hmm.
And I think also looking at habitats of other great ape species, like a chimpanzee or orangutan, water is often used as at least a partial barrier.
Yeah.
I've seen at least a chimpanzee exhibit that was surrounded with a boat.
Yeah.
Though they did leave the boat right there, and I'm pretty sure those chimps could figure that out. So boats for Bigfoot.
No boats for Bigfoot.
But again, going back to that idea that an animal, if it has what it needs provided for it, will stay where it is. So maybe they can leave the boat there because they know they're not going to go anywhere.
It's just a matter of them experimenting and doing something fun and new. But, so we're going to go moat style, and I think... We decided to do a rotating habitat, almost pie style or clock style, a la Hunger Games.
Hunger Games, catching fire.
But, like, not in a way that each section has a horrific thing that happens to you.
It more is so, a torture trap.
More so that each section would have a different type of forest that they are found in. That way, they are mentally... and physically stimulated by, you know, a different surrounding, different habitat every day, and have each slice of pie be roughly 1 square mile. And that solves several issues, which is locating your Bigfoot and having, I mean, when you think about it, like, when you shift your Bigfoot out to clean, you now have to clean 1 square mile.
Mm-hmm.
1 square mile of habitat.
Jesus.
But 1 square mile
with Bigfoot poop.
For cleaning and for, like, part of the reason why we also don't want to go too crazy big on a habitat is being able to find Bigfoot. If we've got him in a, 12 square mile... section of the world, then, and he gets hurt or she gets hurt, you know, a broken leg, falls on a branch and gets a massive laceration, if we can't find him for 3 days, that's not great.
I mean, that is still hard even within 1 to 2 square miles, but
it's
that's
significantly
why
less
it's yeah
hard.
But I also think that's why we have like a tracker in on Bigfoot and potentially something that is taking biomedical data, because we have that, we can do that for humans.
And we're so rich.
Another complication with a large habitat is I'm assuming you want your guests to be able to see your mythical
that's
menagerie.
Where the lazy river comes in,
my favorite part. So originally I had this idea of a 12 square mile Pacific Northwest old growth Douglas tree, Douglas fir forest, because that's just what I want all the time.
It should be mentioned that Annabrit mostly wanted that so that she could walk around.
I just want to go camping, and like Bigfoot can have his space, and I can have my space. I'm not there for him. But then it would be a perfect preserve for a spotted owl and marbled murrelet, which rely on old growth, specifically old growth Douglas fir forests. But once I was presented with the lazy river idea, I've switched camps. I'm now fully in support of the 12 mile clock with the moat around it.
Well, and I think having the old growth Douglas fir in one of the square miles of the pie slice of the Hunger Games habitat.
It's good.
And I think you could still do conservation efforts within
and
that. I mean, right?
Also, we'd be opening it up to conservation efforts in other types of habitats. If mm-hmm. we've got a Rocky Mountain slice, and we've got a Minnesota slice, and we've got an old growth forest mm-hmm. slice, I want to say they're sometimes seen in Ohio,
mm-hmm.
whatever grows there.
Exciting. That's a sign. Last week in Ohio. Oh, what's the name of that website, Joe? Do you remember?
Bigfoot.
Google? Oh, no.
Oh. Bigfoot researchers.
Oh, yeah, the Bigfoot boys.
The Bigfoot boys.
But anyway. That way you could do conservation efforts for each of those types
areas.
Each of those areas, and we're not limiting ourselves to only assisting Pacific Northwest old growth forest animals, which like is important. But
yeah, you could also have a southeast forest and have gopher tortoises.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
assuming that the Bigfoot is not going to mind having companions.
I mean, I'm sure he won't mind. We do need to maybe consider, though, like, I don't know. I think if he can rip a deer's head off, those tortoises don't stand a chance.
But maybe they'll be small enough that he won't care. Like, those little fish that are kept with crocodiles,
mm-hmm.
and, like, why isn't that crocodile eating every fish in here?
And he's gonna be satiated,
because mm-hmm.
he's fed. Or she.
And, like, certainly, potentially, we might lose a gopher tortoise here and there, mm-hmm. but... If we're tracking Bigfoot, we can track the tortoises to make sure that we know how many there are, if there's any breeding happening, mm-hmm. yada, yada, yada. But if Bigfoot is living out in these spaces currently, and we are not seeing signs of Bigfoot deteriorating populations, destroying populations, then should be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We are going with, like, 6 square miles, right? Like
yes,
six.
Square miles.
Okay, good.
Not,
it is not the 12 square mile lazy river.
It's
that
not
would take
12
like 10 clock. Hours to go around.
Yeah.
6 square miles is still, I believe, around 3 hours for a normal lazy
river.
Unless we do like a fast lazy river.
For the rapid.
Yeah.
You enjoyed the basilisk dark experience.
Now get into our river. Hold on for your life and you might see Bigfoot.
I think that as long as there are float-through margarita stands, I'll 3-hour lazy river. I'll 6-hour lazy river.
I think what might be best is to have the Bigfoot habitat as the centerpiece of our menagerie. And then you have different on-ramps and off-ramps of your lazy river.
The whole thing is just the lazy river.
I don't think the whole thing is lazy river. Because they have... The Basilisk Dark Experience does not work with lazy river.
You'd get in, and by the time you got out, you would be the
be disgusting.
So prune.
Which
also,
is a perfect appetizer for our big foot.
Just so cleaning
just
that.
Just soaked humans.
Ew.
Oh, man.
Truly.
Well, but I...
If
but that's why you would have him in the middle. Because then you have other habitats and pathways off to the side, and then you can just ramp on, ramp off, you know? Like,
you can get on at unicorns and then get off at Cerberus.
I think, like, half...
Exactly.
I think half... I think it should be on the edge, so that half of the lazy river you're going by other exhibits, and then the other half is just, like, wild.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And then you don't have to, like, have this entire thing around... This thing that guests can't go on.
Is it going to be like Strong Bad's Jungle Expedition?
What
anybody?
Is that?
Homestar Runner? Anybody?
Oh, I remember Homestar Runner. I don't remember Strong Bad.
He takes Homestar on a
jungle
river,
cruise.
River safari venture.
I don't remember that
and,
at all.
Like, it is so
me.
Accurate of like how those amusement park rides are. It's like, we're going to ride in Canada and enjoy the ride.
Oh no, they're here to attack us.
And like, he shoots a gun into the air. He's like, good thing we scared off those headhunters. Let's keep on moving.
I mean,
oh, here comes one of our other guys, the cheat. Everybody say hi, the cheat. It's
I'm
good.
It's open
good
to that. I think the other thing, we need to have a barrier still. Like, maybe a wall under, like, a wall within the moat. So it's got to be a pretty big moat.
Because
especially
Bigfoot,
if people are in there.
We can't allow people to get up to his island.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And...
Because they
we
will.
Cannot allow him to...
Get
somehow
to people.
Get to people, whether he
snatch.
Does figure out how to swim, or he ends up with floaties because people throw their tubes over and he can now float down the lazy river and potentially get himself not only trapped in the wrong part of the habitat so we don't know where he is, but also
on the off ramp, and now he's looking at unicorns. Oh, actually, that's another thing. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
He's a virgin, though.
I mean,
he's not a maiden.
She might be.
She's not a maiden.
A little maiden, Bigfoot.
That'd be cute.
With little wildflowers in her
cute.
Hair. Oh, who
she'd
gets
probably
to bring
Bigfoot's
hair?
I mean, he could have a flower crown.
Great. Yeah, he could have a flower crown.
Do we have concerns with him having 1 square mile of habitat and our guests having just a sliver of visual?
Yeah. And if he's not sitting on the river, then they don't get to see him.
You are not guaranteed animals when you go to a facility. You mm-hmm. know what I mean?
Sure, but you are guaranteed more chances than one wall of the habitat.
Yeah.
Like that, he has to be, you go by that one spot. For
maybe,
however, that for like that 20
not a
minutes,
mile,
but it's like for that 20 minutes, he has to be on the.
Mile.
But then he has to be on the river.
Yeah.
At that exact time, and that is, and Bigfoot seemingly doesn't love people.
Well, we could do training and enrichment that is
at the bank.
The bank.
But not all the time.
That being said, how are we dividing each pie slice? Because if training is at the end of the pie slice, I'm assuming that would mean the keepers, obviously they'll have to be protective contact. Like nobody, mm-hmm. I don't think anybody wants to be free contact with Bigfoot. So during that training session, is it gonna be kind of how they do Great Ape training, where it's a plexiglass and then you have one of those safety slider doors underneath? You know what I'm talking about? Where...
Yes, I do know what you're talking about.
You ask... Yeah, sorry. I don't know why I asked when you were mid-cough.
Oh, you're fine.
But...
Something stuck up there.
Yeah, I don't know. Just... Yeah, I guess we can have it that way. Oh, and then... We could also do... Where is it that has the O-line with their think tank and the...
National Zoo.
National Zoo has a fun little think tank where the orangutans take an overhead bridge... to get to this think tank, and it's called an O-line, and they go through the O-line, get to the think tank, and then there's just fun, interesting puzzles, I think, for them to do. We can have experiences like tug-of-war. Mm-hmm. You can tug-of-war with a Bigfoot, but like...
Gotta be careful.
you can go play on this rope and die.
You can do arm wrestle with a Bigfoot.
You
obviously
can die.
Not real Bigfoot, but like have a simulator where you grab onto a thing. I'm sure you could with keepers cleaning 1 square mile of Bigfoot habitat a day, I'm sure you can collect a nice pile of hair samples.
Yeah.
I wasn't gonna say poop.
Okay.
Although you could. I don't know what you would do with it. I don't think you can preserve
it. Cast it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And then they
can
get crushed by the poop and die.
Potentially the National Zoo also has, like, casts of... I went somewhere and there was a cast of a fecal matter and it was like, fart in our mess. And it was funny.
Ew.
And it was
I'm here to tell you, it was funny.
I think having a think tank is a good idea.
Yeah, I think enrichment is going to be pretty crucial.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, it's an intelligent species, and they are reclusive. They are known to not interact with humans, but I think that with the relationship building and allowing the Bigfoot to decide whether or not it wants
mm-hmm.
to participate in the think tank today, or
yeah.
Pretty much is all of it voluntary, and you're going to have a history of positive experiences. You know, maybe you offer the Bigfoot experience as a special tour so you can reduce the numbers, and then people will really want to be interested in meeting Bigfoot and will understand that you guys are still working on training. It may not go perfectly.
Teaching sign language.
Yeah.
Okay.
He could sign think tank, or he could sign get this bitch away from me.
What do you tell the guest when Bigfoot is like, her the fuck out of here. The fuck out of here.
I don't know that you should teach him ASL.
He does not want to participate today. What did he say? Don't worry about it.
Okay, so about that, I have a thing. Mm-hmm. But I'll do a little cliffhanger and we'll get to my thing after we take a quick little break.
Okay.
For recording purposes and maybe money purposes. Probably not right now, maybe in the future it'll be money purposes.
But we're, mostly so we don't lose this audio.
We're acclimating you to breaks so that when we do it for money, don't
just
forget
wait
about it.
Until Casper Mattresses hears about us.
Yeah, we're coming for that.
I thought you were gonna leave.
The cliffhanger. I have a very exciting thing to talk about.
Stay tuned for Joe's exciting thing.
Yeah. Wait. Just you wait. Okay, we'll be right back.
This week we're sponsored by Gabby Vasquez.
It's her birthday! Happy birthday,
Gabby!
DM us or email us at the Mythical Menagerie Podcast. Yes, no the. Sorry about
Let's
that.
Let's back up a little bit. The email is mythicalmenagerieprodcast@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
The Instagram is the Mythical Menagerie.
Should we have coordinated? Probably, but Gmail told me I couldn't have any of the names I wanted.
Anyway, the point is that by the time this releases, it will not be Gabby's birthday anymore, but the day that we're recording, it is Gabby's birthday, and we love her.
And it's important.
Happy birthday, Gabby!
Happy birthday! Joseph, your big surprise.
Back to surprise.
Oh, okay. Good.
Okay, welcome back from our ad.
Welcome to Joseph's Surprise.
Welcome to Joseph's Surprise. This week, on my fun Googling, I found out that according to Cherokee legend, and the Cherokee legend of Bigfoot, which they call, I'm very sorry if I get this wrong, Tsulkalu.
You did your best.
I did my best. So you're talking about enrichment and them interacting with guests and all of that. They said, and again, I don't know if we include this, it was one version of the Bigfoot myth, that they had the power to read people's minds.
I love that.
And...
No.
Yeah, I'm not done.
Oh,
that's not the surprise.
We don't love that, Camille.
Yeah.
Oh, I do. I don't know what everyone thinks about me. Are you kidding me?
With a Bigfoot.
Hot goss with Bigfoot?
That is not what's happening. You have not let me finish.
Oh, sorry. Continue.
That when they do that, people have the same reported words that, like, getting abducted by aliens. So hours pass in the blink of an eye. You don't know what happened.
Oh.
And sometimes Bigfoot makes you just strip naked and go crazy. And just
so
run around.
He doesn't have the power to read minds.
He
does. Has the power of mind control.
Both.
That is incredibly different.
He's got both.
I would like to make a note that as this is our podcast and we can make the rules, our Bigfoot doesn't do that.
Okay, I just wanted to bring it up.
Joseph, we cannot lose our guests to 8 hours on the lazy
Here's
river,
the
fuck naked.
Here's the thing. Is that not also kind of fun to see? Yeah, I saw Bigfoot, but boy, that's not what I want to talk to you about.
I also saw a grown man ride a lazy river for 8 hours.
If I went to a zoo,
buck naked,
and I saw a unicorn and whatever else is there, and I also saw somebody's uncle just flailing everything down the lazy river.
I am not like your body movements.
That's what he's doing.
Thank God this is just a podcast.
When I get home, I am not telling anybody about that unicorn, and I am not talking about that Bigfoot. I am not talking about anything else.
Yeah, which
that man.
Don't we want them to? I mean, that's part of.
I don't want
the goal.
People. Yeah,
I just want them to have a memorable experience.
In order for us
And admittedly, the person who gets mind control does not have a memorable experience. They don't remember anything. But that's one out of 1,000.
I don't think we can accept a Bigfoot that does that. I just don't see how. I mean, it doesn't even offer a solution on how to block that. Like, that's just something that happens.
Just happens.
Hey, you can't stop everything in life. That's sometimes true. You have to deal with it.
You shouldn't have been hunting for Bigfoot.
Yeah.
There you go.
It's his defense mechanism.
I just...
Now you're naked in the woods and you have no idea how you got where you are.
That's why all the Sasquatch hunters seem like they're crazy. They all got squashed.
Also, this is for another, just another fun thing from this website, that there's a Bigfoot in West Virginia called a Yahoo, who is 10 feet tall and 1,000 pounds.
Copyright.
And just hangs out in apple orchards and eats the apples.
Nice.
That's cute. Yeah.
I think that's fair enough.
Probably gets drunk on the fermented ones. Probably. It happens to moose in Alaska.
That's cute.
You have to shut down, like, the main road when there's a drunk moose.
You do. Super moose are dangerous. Always larger than you think they are. And I think that's a good take-home.
I have never seen one in real life, and I would like to, because...
There's one at the Columbus Zoo.
Yeah.
It's fucking huge.
I believe it.
Huge.
My sister claims you go to Yellowstone in the winter, and you will see more moose than you know what
to
do with.
Too many moose.
Some real Backstreet Boys stuff.
What?
Larger than life.
Oh,
gee
whiz.
Gee willikers. So,
fine.
I have a question.
Yes.
How are your keepers going to maintain, I'm not counting the lifeguards and human poop scoopers on the lazy river.
Oh, God.
How are your Bigfoot keepers going to access this island and care?
So,
how many Bigfoot keepers do we need? We need at least 2, I would assume. But,
you could
like,
probably
it's a square mile a day.
You could probably do that shitty thing where you have a set of staff that only cleans the Bigfoot, and then a set of staff that only trains the Bigfoot.
Or you can rotate, like...
Send 6 interns into the habitat he's not occupying, and that's your job for the day.
Yeah.
But
so
also,
then those of us getting paid are also going to be training Bigfoot, making awesome enrichment projects, and interacting with
kids. We can't do a boat because, A, it's a boat, and he will get into
I think...
we go under.
Yeah, and I do think there has to be some sort of shelter, nighthouse,
building
probably in the center.
A shifting area.
Like, that
sure.
he can always access, but some area where they can go and have
and
bedding, have whatever.
Area.
And have a keeper area, and there
space.
Can be, a tunnel, a manhole cover that goes down to a mile-long tunnel with a...
Well, it'd have to be over a mile if the habitat is
true,
a mile.
True, it would be over a mile.
And
be
then
like
you've
a mile,
got however big the moat is, and then you've got...
Yeah.
Get it would a be golf a, cart?
Yeah.
No, it would be like a little DC-style, taking your
little tram
to the house.
Oh, yeah, a little Capitol subway.
A little Capitol Hill tram.
But it
would just be filled with poop. And terrible, terrible smell because the Bigfoot smells terrible.
Again, I feel like, here's the thing. When you're working with an animal that is very large and in charge, and it's, okay, let me start over. Primate houses at zoological facilities smell awful. That's just what it is.
Fact.
When
yes.
they're, like, the building, if animals are inside of any building... That building is gonna smell like garbage.
And
I will
he
say,
already smells bad.
He already
there
smells
are
bad.
Records.
And those buildings typically have windows or some sort of ventilation. We are now putting that smell in an underground tunnel.
It's gonna have to have ventilation,
so,
or OSHA is gonna be.
Well, yeah, but it's still a tunnel. Like, there's
a
only
tunnel.
So much you can get rid of. Like, yeah,
and it's
going. It is
under
going
a
to.
Lake.
Yeah, it
river.
Is going to be
river.
Magnitudes.
Well, and it's
worse.
A man-made.
Disney has done all of it. I'm sure.
Yeah.
And you guys are richer than God, so.
True.
Which
I
is
think
Disney
doesn't
Disney.
Smell quite as bad.
Except you'll actually provide health insurance.
Tricky.
I assume.
But if it's, I mean, it doesn't have to be like
calling
a
out
yes, yes, we will, we will.
Deep dark cave of necessary. Like it's gonna like ramp up and like you're gonna be going. In a U. You know what
well,
I mean?
It's
not like you go straight
a...
down into this dark, dingy tunnel.
I mean, that's
a,
that would...
And straight across, and then straight up.
That would work best for a tram.
How are you going to... How
were...
are you going to get the poop...
Big shoot.
...from up there?
Oh,
big
if
shoot. Laundry.
On,
dumb waiter. Big shoot.
Angle.
I have so many ideas.
If you were on an
angle,
you could
angle.
Use a furuncular.
Yeah, you could use it for Nunkiller.
I thought those just go... They don't go, like, they don't go in a V.
Oh, watch this. But you could have two. You could have, like,
but then you have to transfer the poop?
Fununcular.
The number of words she makes.
Just the words.
So a fununcular is like a tram, except it's on an incline, and there's a motor at the uphill side. Mm. And so the motor slowly lets you go when you go downhill.
Oh.
And then slowly pulls you up when you come uphill.
Okay.
I think all it is that you've got a big old hole at the, where he lives.
A hole in a pit.
And it's a big chute, and that's where you just dump the poop straight out of the wheelbarrow that goes into the tram that has a big old bucket on it. You take the ladder or elevator down, you drive the tram, and then there's an elevator for the tram to bring it up, and then you dump the poop out there.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they do with ore.
Yeah, exactly.
Mines.
I'm here to tell you that if you don't know how to spell funicular and you Google it
it's
wrong...
It's an F.
It, no, I got the F. I got all the other letters wrong, and I was it was a bunch of parasites, and they were all gross. This thing.
Okay. I would have told you it's an uphill tram.
But isn't furuncular so much better?
No, I do not disagree. It's just sometimes when I hang out with you, I realize how much more information is in the world and how little of it I personally contain. And it's just...
Anna Britt has a brain. We have more money than God. Anna Britt's brain is bigger than God.
Wow.
You know everything.
Which is basically Disney.
The fact of the matter is you know everything. And you're not even a dick about it, which is great.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't mean... I don't know.
Turning red over here, guys. Thanks.
Does Bigfoot
I hope my mom listens to this one. But my sister might be. What up?
Yeah. So we've covered habitat. We've covered how the guests can see them. And we've got a great lazy river, which I think is just going to pull a lot of people in.
Mm-hmm.
With
margarita
stands.
Hopefully not.
Right. I mean, but if it happens,
well done, Joe.
Diet's easy to take
waiver.
Care of because it's...
Diet's easy enough.
Omnivorous. Little of this, little of that.
We're gonna do some conservation within it. What's not to love? What?
The 6 mile square foot habitat. That's what's not to love.
But you're only cleaning 1 to 2 square miles a day.
Jolly. That's great.
Because if he has, obviously he'll be in the 1 square mile during the day, but then overnight he'll have access to the indoor area and then maybe like 1 or 2 more.
And I think arguably, he could stay in... Oh, I forgot about the overnight. Mm. Never mind. Ignore me.
Does he need...
We don't have to give him access to all 6. We could give him access to 3 overnight.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got
a 1,000
interns. Of 3 days to clean the other side
of
it.
Oh, yeah, by the time you get around to it.
By the time he is shifted into that next section and has access to one of them during the day... Or more, but ideally one of them during the day, 3 overnight, and then you've got 3 days to clean the other side of it.
Okay.
Go ahead,
I'm telling you, we have interns. When I was an intern, I did literally anything anyone asked, and I was thrilled to do it.
Even as a keeper. Yeah. It's like, yeah, whatever, I don't know.
Whatever you need.
Yeah, what is
thank
that?
You.
Okay.
What kind of bird is
thanks
that?
For thinking of me.
Yeah. One potential issue that I'm pretty sure people listening will say... So I think we should talk about it, is are we saying that the intelligence level of Bigfoot is that of, like, a great ape? Because there are a lot of things online that talk about, like, is Bigfoot is split off from the human race, from, like, Neanderthals? Mm. Like, something that they are talked about a lot as something that is not human intelligence, but smarter than great apes. And is that the ethics of that are...
I'm going to make a statement that is probably incorrect, but would like... to at least have some version of it, I think, will work for us, because we're going to run into this problem with a lot of mythical creatures.
Sure.
If they are capable of human speech, like if they can walk up to you and say, good morning, Joseph, how are you doing today?
Fine, thank you.
It's probably not ethical to keep them, if that makes sense.
The only thing is that, like, I totally get that, like, when we get to other mythical things that have... Yeah, speech or whatever. But the thing with Bigfoot is that they are talked about so closely to humans. Like, it is a more specific thing than just, they're smart. Like,
but then, when you think about human... I mean, the way we survive today, anyone who is listening to this podcast lives in a society, in a civilization where there are rules, there are places that you... I mean, we have... Freedom is that we can... I can choose to go wherever I want. I don't have the money to go wherever I want. And, like, you know what I mean? It's...
I think I know where you're trying to go,
It's that I don't hunt for my own shit.
Mm-hmm.
I go to the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
So I would love if I... Humans have keepers and they're called assistants. I think that's what I'm trying to say.
Camille would be in human care if the habitat was nice enough.
Yeah, I would love to be... Someone I have my own private chef. Literally, human care is...
Commissary.
Like, being under human care is what it means to be a rich person to me. Like, that's...
Well,
like, that just makes
sense. But you
can
fire that chef.
Mmm.
You can fire that assistant. You can change what they do for you. You determine what is happening. You determine where you are. You determine your habitat.
That's why Bigfoot has sign language. If he doesn't fuck with a keeper,
but if Bigfoot,
I'm good with getting rid of him.
But if Bigfoot has sign language, just like, hey, I want to go live somewhere else, we're not going to say yes.
We will say, you can move to the Rocky Mountain habitat.
Yeah.
Want to go to Colorado? No problem.
Once Bigfoot starts negotiating terms of his human interactions, you're in trouble. So I was doing some research. Well, I did some research. Mm-hmm. And when I was doing that research, I did a lot of, is Bigfoot real or is Bigfoot mythical?
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, that's not what we're here to discuss, so I didn't have to worry too much about it. Mm-hmm. But I did come across a lot of comparisons to Bigfoot and the evolutionary tree of primates, great apes in general. So if you look back to when... great apes split from monkeys. Mm-hmm. So at one point there was an ancestor that both of those groups shared, and then they split, and one of that groups kept a tail and one of those groups did not keep their tail. And obviously there are some other differences between monkeys and great apes, but let's keep it simple. If Bigfoot was a member of that group that didn't have tails and split off from that ancestor,
mm-hmm.
there would be record of Bigfoot in the fossil records, because he would show up somewhere. But there is no fossil evidence of Bigfoot or something that
mm-hmm.
was an ancestor to a Bigfoot.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is that humans and great apes came from the tropics. Whether you believe that humans came from Africa, Mesopotamia, or Asia, because there are theories to support all of them, they are all fairly equatorial. Bigfoot is more of a temperate animal. And great apes, primates, and especially humans did not come from temperate climate. So I think that Sasquatch is an animal, not a human, but does possess incredible intelligence.
Almost
but
polar bearish.
Very different.
I just know that they need a lot of space, I think. Sorry, continue.
Very different from the great apes that we are used to. Bigfoot is not social. So, the research that I've done has shown that Bigfoot will live in groups up to 3, and that's it. So, my zookeeper brain goes to, that is an adult male, female, and their offspring. The moment that offspring is done being raised, that group splits. I don't know if they're monogamous, I don't know if they're polyamorous, what have you. But, there should
just
not...
just opportunistic. Like,
exactly. It could just be...
solitary, and then they're like...
It could be three
you
adult
parts
males.
I need...
It could be three adult males who are foraging like a cheetah
coalition. So cute.
So I personally think that they are an animal, not a human, and keeping one is never going to be an issue, especially if you're building that relationship and that Bigfoot gets to decide when and how it's going to interact with other humans. Other humans. Uh-oh. I just
Uh-oh. I was on board until...
With other humans as in, like, multiple humans.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah.
Nice.
I gotcha. It's okay. I went off on a 3-minute tangent about grocery stores for no reason. So, I got there. We made it. We circled back. I don't know. Does anybody have... Are there any other... I think the ethics are there. I think we're good. I'm not the best barometer.
Let me double check my Cerberus notes and make sure we covered husbandry things that we need. Because I have my Cerberus notes broken down.
She's got an outline.
In husbandry needs. So mm-hmm. we've covered habitat, okay. we've covered shelter, we've covered enrichment training.
Little spoiler for next episode.
We've covered food, we've covered keeper interactions.
Yeah.
So I think we're good.
We're good, and we got a Bigfoot.
Yeah.
That's
so
exciting.
Should we officially vote?
Yeah.
Do the official. The official 1, 2, 3. I think we can have a Bigfoot.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, I don't love it. But I'm fine with it.
Giuseppe. But he's all over the BDE.
I just...
Hell yeah, yeah.
I know what that means.
Yeah.
What's wild to me... Oh, sorry.
Go for it.
Finish your thought before Camille ends it.
You had none of these concerns the first 2 times we recorded, and now that you've had a week and a half to think about it...
Look.
You're against it.
A lot has changed. I have aged... I have been vaccinated.
He's vaccinated now.
The only one here, so like I think that kind of elevates me a little bit. So like I'm saying that I'm on a higher level and plane of thinking,
mm-hmm.
and that's just like kind of the issues that come up to us.
I'm
us
open
Pfizers.
To being wrong, but I need more evidence.
No,
from
I said
you.
Fine.
I'm no,
fine
I know.
With
I'm
it.
Just saying. That's, I'm
Look,
open
I'm
to
just,
being wrong.
I'm putting yeah. myself in a position
Sign
where I'm saying
DMs.
Yes, but if anything goes wrong, I can say that I told you so.
I feel like you guys
yes.
are going to have to come up with some rules. Like, is it majority votes? If two of
yeah.
you say yes and one of you says
yeah.
no?
The other
because
one is kicked out. Yeah.
And then
yeah.
that last
yeah.
one
the
gets
one is
yeah.
banished from the kingdom
yeah.
for
yeah.
1 week.
Yeah.
yeah. And guest host doesn't vote unless it's a tie somehow?
No, guest host votes.
I think guest
but it would be...
You
if it's a tiebreaker, then that's
vote
exciting.
Because you are... Whether or not you are officially a guest, you are always
You
there.
Are probably the tiebreaker.
And again, you did the most research for this, so it just...
Yeah.
It feels
At the end
odd
of the day, you deserve to pick whether Bigfoot
yeah.
stays or not.
I just... 1 week in a month, I'm going to write on the calendar that the Northwest Quadrant will be taken for 2 nights, 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where Sarah Hart and I will be.
I think that's fair.
Get a 3-day weekend
every
single month.
Yeah, or you go camping.
Not
sounds
bad.
Excellent.
Oh, we'll sit on the lazy river and yell at the lifeguards.
Sounds good.
I love yelling at people. Love it. Makes
so
me
then,
very comfortable.
Yes, you're saying.
Oh,
you're
absolutely.
Saying yes to Bigfoot. Yes to right. Bigfoot.
We've got 3 yeses and 1 fine.
Yep.
That was a really good impression.
Thank you.
I think you'll look back one day and be very proud of your 3 yeses and 1 fine.
Yeah, and some of us will look back one day and say, like, yeah, I told you so.
Oh, right.
Maybe once we're all vaccinated, we'll understand.
Yeah,
yeah maybe.
We'll see.
I don't know.
We need to do that.
Maybe you won't get Pfizer. Maybe it'll be, like, some weird Moderna.
No, we have to get Pfizer for doing it in here, because I think
yeah.
that's
oh, sure.
What,
well,
what's
I'll be
been
cool.
a lot
Pfizer. I'm going to go
let's
on record.
End it before we...
I'm going to go on record. No, we're not ending it. We're not ending it. I'm going on record right now as all this is happening and saying before all of... The weird
oh boy,
vaccine wars
like
happen. Fuck all Modernas. Pfizer King. Johnson & Johnson can go to hell. Yeah,
no,
they can go to hell.
No
whatever
tears.
The Chinese vaccine, they can go to
oh
hell.
Boy,
Pfizer kids
gosh.
Are the best. We're going to have tails or whatever.
We just learned yesterday that they're using German technology to do all this anyway, so how much of this
I think
is
we
ours?
Need to be
done. Anyway,
I
thank you guys so much for tuning
thank
in.
Thank you for coming, Anna Britt.
Feel free to email us once again at mythicalmenageriepodcast@gmail.com.
Nailed it.
Or slide into our DMs at themythicalmenagerie on Instagram. Give us a follow, comment on stuff, share things, and, you know, thanks.
Love it.
Pfizer's rules, Moderna's
oh
rules.
Oh my god, bye!